Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. My beautiful co-host, Anne, is still at home with her new precious little baby, but hopefully you'll be hearing from her pretty soon. But for anyone who's new to this show, we are a show for couples who struggle with infertility or miscarriage or child loss, and whatever way God is building your family, we know that journey can be very difficult, but we also know that God is enough. And sometimes it just helps to have somebody else along the way cheering you and saying, hey, He was there for me on my hardest day. He's going to be there for you. So anyways, today we have a really special guest with us. I'll get into her introduction in a moment. But I just wanted to say, first of all, something that's heavy on my heart this morning. We have two Hannah's Heart listeners that I've recently learned of having some just really tragic losses, and their family is in the thick of grief. I'm not going to mention their names on air, but I know you guys pray for each other, especially these stories that you hear. And I just ask for these two families, if you would take a moment in your life and just pray. Here's what I've been praying for them, that the Holy Spirit would comfort them in the way that only He is able to, because His name is the Comforter. And I don't even have words sometimes for you guys when you email us. And it's just, I know we talk about these issues on the show all the time, but man, grief is real and it is so hard. And speaking of grief, today we have a guest who I guess you could say is an expert in processing grief through real life experiences. So we have Stephanie Munkoff with us, and she is a beautiful friend and a supporter of Hannah's Heart. I got to meet her through a Zoom call a couple months back because of some unique ministries that she's involved with, because the Lord has not only helped her process her grief, but move on to be able to, not move on might not be the right words, has helped her move forward to be able to help others. And just a quick, I asked her to give me a little summary of her story, and I'm not going to give you any spoiler alerts because I'm going to let her tell it. But I loved how she said, wrote this. She said, when I thought I would be chained to my grief for the rest of my life and I would just be stuck forever, our good God broke those chains and gave me true freedom in my grief. And I know there's some of you listening today that you feel that chain around you. And even though you love the Lord, you still, and she loved the Lord through everything she went through, you feel like you're stuck. And so today we're going to hear from Stephanie and how the Lord broke those chains. So Stephanie, welcome to Hannah's Heart.
Hi, Kendra. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited to get into your story. So first, just tell me about Jared, your husband, how y'all met, and a little bit about your family.
Yeah. My husband Jared and I, this year will be 10 years that we've been married.
Oh, congrats.
And thank you. It's flown by. I wouldn't say our story is super exciting how we met, but we met playing slow pitch softball, something that we both love doing. And so
sports bringing people together. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he hit you boys throwing mud at girls? Well, he didn't hit you with the ball, did he?
Right. He claims I always got him out, but I don't believe that. So. and then we have three beautiful girls. The Lord blessed us with all girls.
Oh my goodness.
So far, we'll see what happens.
Oh my goodness.
He's a family of all boys, and so we have all girls.
That's new.
So fun. Yeah. So we have two beautiful girls here on earth with us, and then one in heaven. So super thankful for them and just what they've brought to our lives and just the blessings that they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to jump right into that story of the beautiful little girl that's in heaven that you look forward to meeting. So tell us how all of that went down.
Yeah. So it's hard to tell your story and just, you know, there's so many pieces to it.
Yes.
So sometimes it's hard to like wrap it up in kind of a short summary, but in February of 2020 is when our world completely changed and not in a way that we were expecting. I was 32 weeks and
this would have been your third. You have already two daughters.
This would have been my second.
Second.
Yeah, this would have been my second pregnancy, yes.
Okay.
I went on to have another pregnancy, healthy, no complications after my loss. But had a first healthy pregnancy with my oldest, no complications, nothing. Had a healthy pregnancy up to the point of February of 2020 when I went in for a routine visit, my checkup at 32 weeks. And I definitely, looking back, just feel how God was there present with me. It was kind of a rare appointment because my doctor was in an emergency C-section and they had asked if I had just, if I would have been okay with just seeing a nurse. And thankfully I had, a feeling, just a gut feeling that no, I really needed to see another doctor and just felt something was a little off. Couldn't really pinpoint it. And so another doctor came in, you know, and I just kind of was talking to her and just letting her know kind of how I was feeling. And I wasn't really having any feelings per se, like symptoms, just a gut feeling, I guess. And I ended up doing an ultrasound just to check. And, you know, I heard those words I never thought I would ever hear. You know, your baby no longer has a heartbeat. And that's just something that you don't expect to hear at 32 weeks.
No.
You know, planning her nursery, planning everything, like getting so close to the end, you know, just waiting for her arrival. And I just remember that moment of hearing those words and, oh my goodness, my whole world shattered and it like everything around me just went, it's hard to explain, like a fog. Like it was just like voices in the distance. You know, just, it was just an instant, like shattering, honestly, like glass just shattering. And there's so many moments even in that day that just looking back, like the Lord was already with me because randomly my dad had come to the appointment with me, which was so rare. So him and my daughter were there with me. I wasn't alone. And then my husband worked super close, so was able to come over right away. And so I delivered her a couple of days later. I was induced and I delivered her. And I remember being in the hospital and like almost physically feeling like God's hand on my shoulder. I'm trying not to get emotional telling the story, but it's like, how can you not?
Right.
But through that, I just really struggled with my grief for really 2.5 years after losing Layton. So Layton Faith, that's her name. We didn't have a middle name prior to finding out that we had lost her. So we got that middle name from actually a pastor that was praying with us. And it's Layton Faith, you know, and it's meant to be her name. And it just means so much. And now it's our third daughter's middle name. And so it's just really nice to be able to just carry that on. For 2.5 years, I really just felt really weighed down by my grief, you know, would go through spurts of depression and just darkness. But all along, like, I've had a relationship with God pretty much my entire life. But through this, like learning what it truly means to have a relationship with him, like there's a difference, you know, just like such a difference. And so just really fighting my grief through those 2.5 years, just trying to cling to him and understand and asking him these hard questions. And I really felt like I was just walking around like a shell of a person, like just in a constant fog all the time. And just kind of fast forward a little bit, I went to a women's conference in October of 2022, and not expecting anything, like really was there just to worship and just like be with my girlfriends and, you know, hear the speakers. And we were singing King of My Heart, and I was just singing, God, you are good, you are good. And all of a sudden, like, oh my goodness, bring some chills just thinking back to it. But I just felt the presence of God like I have never felt before in my life, like ever, like physically from my hands, tip of my hands down to my toes, and just felt him come over me. And the chains, like literally felt like chains broke from my ankles, just came off. And
you were worshiping when that happened.
Yes. And in that moment, also, like, God telling me, like, you're going to go into ministry. I'm like, what? And I actually had him tell me that a couple times in my quiet time, like, a month before, and then, like, a couple weeks before the conference. And so those I just kind of shut down. I'm like, no, you're crazy, not happening. And then here at the conference, again, you know, reaffirming, like, no, like, this is what I want you to do with what has happened. And so by that time, I'm like, yes, God, anything you want me to do, like, absolutely, you know, surrender it all to you. And from that moment forward, I mean, the grief is totally different. Like, there's freedom in grief like I never thought was possible. And it's all because of God. Like, it's all because of him. And I just never thought I would be where I am today. Like, I always thought I would just be, you know, like this sad person, you know, on the inside, just kind of fighting it. And just, I never thought there could be freedom in grief. And so, not that there's not sadness on some days, you know, where I miss Layton, but it's different from what it used to be, where I would just break down and, you know, just long for her so much. But now it's like longing for God and growing in my relationship with him, because I know through him is how I get to reunite with her one day. And so through that, I have, I started volunteering for a nonprofit, Lullaby of Hope, in 2021. And that has been a complete, huge piece of the puzzle as well. And then through God saying, you know, I want you to go into ministry, I formed Hope in the Healing, which is like a local grief support group that we meet once a month. And we just kind of, you know, unpack our grief and just trying to bring hope to moms that are just struggling. So we'll see where that goes. We've been doing that for a year and a half now, and it's just each day is like a new little puzzle piece, just to the story. And so it's exciting just to see what God is doing through the life of Layton. You know, like, it's just so beautiful. And so I'm just so thankful to be that vessel that he's using to just change other lives.
That is beautiful, sis. That is a beautiful story. And so many moments in there I want to go back to and unpack. But first, this is a random question, but all this went down in February of 2020. I'm curious how the COVID lockdowns and like not being around people, how that impacted you during your time of grief. Was it helpful or was it hurtful?
Right. I'm so thankful that I was able to deliver her before all of that happened, because I was able to have my family with me.
That's amazing.
Jared's family with us. It's super special because his brother that has since passed away, was in the room with us. So we have pictures of him and Leighton together. So that is just such a special, special thing that only God could orchestrate, you know? And so that was a super special moment. And one of my best friends was there. She was able to take pictures. And we wouldn't have had any of those moments had it been, you know, a month later. So, during my grief, I'd say there were definitely lonely days. It was kind of an odd thing. Like, I wanted to be alone, but at the same time, I wanted someone to just think of me or, like, remember, like, I'm struggling over here, you know? You know, my mom was there. My dad was there for like that first month. I was never alone for that first month. I just couldn't be. I just needed someone there physically with me to like rub my back or, you know. But we do live in a really small town. And so thankfully, like the quote unquote shutdown didn't really, it affected us, but not in the sense it did in like big cities.
Yeah.
And so I was still able to have friends, you know, come over, you know, here and there just to comfort me. And so
the need for community when you're grieving doesn't stop just because there's a worldwide issue pandemic going on.
Exactly.
But
yeah. Wow. Yeah. So,
well, tell me, so you talk about this moment of the chains falling off. But what was it that led to that? Not that maybe you don't even know, you know, but I'm sure God was not wasting that grief time, that there were things that you were wrestling through and maybe processing, or maybe even just your spirit man was processing. Is there anything that conversations that you were having with God that you think were important that led up to the freedom that you found from your grief?
I mean, honestly, like I said, it was totally unexpected, but I was sitting in stillness and in the quiet with him a lot, really just leaning in and like seeking him. And I don't even remember what specifically like that brought it up, you know, like it was just in like quiet time with him. Like in the morning is like a super special time for me just because I can be still with him and the peace of the house. It's not chaotic. And that's just kind of where I hear him the most. And just in those two moments prior to that October conference, him saying, it first kind of started a little small where Lullaby of Hope is the nonprofit I volunteer for. And just kind of telling me, like, I want you to make it known, like share it more, like bring it to your church and just like help those that are grieving just know that they're not alone. And so it just kind of started small like that. And then I talked to a friend and she kind of just helped me like work through all those feelings and kind of what I was hearing. And I kind of sent an email to my church and that was that. Like, okay, I did it, you know, we'll see where it goes. And then a couple weeks later, I'm at this conference and it's like, nope, like it's way more than you thought it was going to be, you know, and they just fell off. Like, I don't really remember specifically if there was something, you know, beforehand other than that.
But I know that might seem to some people, you know, like a small thing just to be having that quiet time with the Lord and then to send an email. But what I'm hearing as you tell that story is the word faith, which was the important name that, you know, the Lord gave to you. Like what, you know, Hebrews says that faith is, you know, believing, you know, having hope in what we cannot see. And when you were waking up those mornings, like I cannot imagine. It's like, you don't feel real, God. You don't feel good. You don't feel like all of these things I know you are, but my faith is in believing that you are those things, and I'm still going to talk to you. Like, just, we've heard from so many women who have had losses like you that just praying, just literally starting the conversation with God is such a hurdle for them. And so, like, obviously, there's this initial time of grief where you're just numb. And there's no time limit that you can put on different seasons of grieving. But eventually you came to this place where you're getting quiet with God and you're just sitting with Him and you're not demanding answers. You're not, you might have questions, you know, and you might be having real conversations with Him, but you're willing to be in the room with His presence and sit with His presence. And, you know, I just think about like, what, you know, what stroke of a hammer is it that cracks the nut? You know, there's so many times that you might be, you know, hitting that nut and it eventually cracks and you think, oh, it's the last time that, because it'd be great if I could just tell everybody, just go to this conference and listen to the exact song that Stephanie listened to and your chains are going to fall, you know, but it's like God works different ways in each person's life. And like, I just see Him through His constant relationship with you, he's cracking at that to say, I want to give you freedom. I want to give you freedom. And then there's this moment just when it happens, which is so encouraging. Like, I love that you said it was true freedom in your grief, because a lot of mamas that are maybe listening to this that are currently processing it, they're like, are you just saying that? Are you just saying that? Or did, you know, was it real? And what I love that's so real about it is you said there's still these moments of grief, but it's that, but there's freedom in your grief. What a beautiful way to put that. And what hope that gives to us. But I want to go back real quickly. Lullaby of Hope. What do they do? Mm-hmm. Is it a national ministry that people can connect with, or is it local to your area?
Yes, it is. It's national. We send boxes all over. And so my beautiful friend Crystal, she founded it after her own losses. I think this year is 11 years. And so it's just grown into this beautiful ministry. I'm on the core team. So this team, the core team specifically, we're the ones who pray over the box. We write a handwritten note to the mama. And send it to them, like we ship it to them. So we send curated gift boxes. It's got a devotional, some scripture cards, a candle for October 15th, which is the Wave of Light for infant and infant loss awareness month, and just so many beautiful intentional things in this box that are just—it's so beautiful. And I remember receiving this box myself and. Oh my goodness. It changed the way it was the first step to kind of all of this that has now trickled in to what I'm doing now. It just changed the way I was spending time with God and like how I was processing just through that devotional and just connecting with Crystal and everyone else on the team too, just has been such a blessing. And so, yeah, if you know of someone that is lost or, have someone in the future, sending them a box is just such a beautiful reminder that they're not alone, that they're seen and loved.
So you can sponsor a box. If you know someone who's lost, you can contact Lullaby of Hope and sponsor a box.
Yes, we have a website. Yeah, we have a website, lullabyofhope.org, and you can go on and you can order a box and you can ship it directly to the mama who has lost. Or you can go on and you can be like a monthly donor for, sometimes we'll get requests for boxes. And so we'll send them. From these donors, we're able to send them boxes, with their donations, which is such a blessing. So many ways to just support this ministry.
When my husband and I were processing our loss, I had two people that sent me things. A friend, shout out to her, and my church family that sent some things. And, you know, it wasn't even about what the thing was, although your Lullaby of Hope sounds like it's very purposeful and everything that goes in the box.
Yeah.
But for me, just receiving a gift felt like they are acknowledging this loss that I had. Like, there's this big, huge thing that's forever not going to, you know, this hurt's going to forever be a part of me. And just somebody acknowledging that, like, I broke down and cried. And it was one of the best gifts that I've ever received. Just a simple acknowledgement in that moment. What an amazing ministry. Real quickly, Hope in the Healing. Tell me what your, we have just about a minute and a half left. Tell me what your vision is for that.
Oh my goodness. It's a constant talking to God about this one. 'Cause I'm like, what are you doing? So we meet once a month right now. We're locally, just here in like the Midwest Missouri area. And we meet once a month for like a grief group. So that's been a blessing just to be able to kind of help others speak into their grief. And God's really laid on my heart the wave of light and really putting emphasis on remembering those babies that are in heaven. And just, so we'll see where it goes. It's a lot of praying right now and taking it one day at a time. So such a blessing.
Well, Stephanie, thank you for your willingness to be vulnerable with your story. And thank you for answering the call, because I know so many people who are grieving needed to hear this today and need to hear what you do, that there is freedom in your grief in Christ. Yeah. The chains can fall off. Just keep being obedient to Him. Just keep soaking in His presence. Just keep talking to Him. Stephanie, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, we're praying for you. If you're in the thickness of grief, just know we are praying for you, and God is able.